chapter 43, verse 1. And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said to them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spoke to him, saying, The man did solemnly protest to us, saying, You shall not see my face except your brother be with you. If you will send your brother with us, our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, You shall not see my face except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore deal you so ill with me as to tell a man whether you had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said to Israel, his father, Send the lad with me, and we will rise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you and our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned a second time. And their father Israel said to them, If it must be so now, do this, take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in your mouth of your sack. Carry it again in your hand. Peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise and go into again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men to Joseph's house. And then the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, O sir, we came indeed down the first time to buy food. And it came to pass, when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack. Our money in full weight, and we have brought it again into our hands. And the other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, Peace be unto you. Fear not, your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he brought Simeon out to them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph. They made ready the present against Joseph at noon. For they heard that they should eat bread there. Excuse me. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare, and said, Is your father well? The old man whom you spoke of, is he yet alive? And they answered, The servant of our father is in good health, yet he is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And they lift up their eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, God be gracious unto you, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, Set on bread. And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messages unto them before him, but Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Now, go back and see what this is all about. And the famine was what? Severe in the land. So now, this famine in the land, what do you think it was? You think it was really about grain? It was about a famine for the Word of God in the land. What is the land? That's us. It's in our minds. We have a famine there. The Word's there, but we don't know about it. All the nutrients in the grain that you raise from the earth, where's it at? In the earth. It's there. We have to know how to get it out, don't we? Well, God knows how to bring the life out of the earth. That's us. Okay? So that's the picture we got to understand. There's a famine in me, and I got to find out how to get that grain. I got to find out how to get that word. And it came to pass when they had eaten up not the corn, but the grain, or the food, their father said to them, Go again, buy us a little food. God give us the first bunch, didn't he? Got like the 10 virgins. They had a little oil, and some of them were wise, and some of them were foolish, 5 and 5. And guess what? The wise ones had the oil they needed, and the other 5 had to go buy their own, didn't they? Because they weren't prepared. Yep. Well, it would, yes. Yes, it would. Yep. Okay. And Judah spoke to him, saying, the man did solemnly protest to us, saying, you shall not see my face until your brother be with you. Not except, but until. If you will send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. Do you think they had any faith? Do you think these men had any faith? They were still afraid to face the Christ. Joseph was the Christ. They just didn't know who he was. When Jesus walked the earth, did anybody know who he was? Unless the Father revealed it to them, did they know who he was? No. And it's no different today. People don't know who the Christ is, who the first fruit walking upon the earth is, do they? And you know, it's not about us having honor and respect, is it? It's about us doing what we're supposed to be doing. And God will take care, and he will glorify you where he wants you to be. So don't worry about that thing. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, because the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother be with you. Now look what comes up next verse. And Israel said, what are we talking about? Israel. We're talking about Jacob, but God's not calling his name Jacob now. It's talking about God, right? The one of peace. Israel. He said, wherefore did you deal with so ill with me as to tell the man ye had yet another brother? Wah, wah, wah. He's at it again. Although God sees him in perfection, your nature was no longer going to be Jacob, but now you're going to be called Israel. Right? He had his nature changed, but guess what? He still had some things in him. Still murmuring and complaining about situations in the life. Well, you know, that's what's called life. Situations is life. Without those situations, you would never change from the way you were the day you started. You'd still be the same mess you were in. Correct? Israel, Jacob, has never yet seen that these are benefits for him. God's not doing anything to him. He's doing it for him. He hasn't seen that picture yet. And if we don't come to it in our life to see the same thing, that everything happens in our life, when someone comes up and disrespects you and says all kinds of evil things about you, you need to embrace that person and say, thank you. You've done me a favor. You've blessed me. Because he said if they say all manner of evil about you and lie about you, great is your reward in the spirit realm, and you're blessed. Correct? So when they're nasty to you, you say, thank you. And they'll think you're crazy and walk away and leave you alone, probably. Because how many people thank somebody for being mean to them? See? Well, see, they gave me a test. They gave me a test to see if I really have the heart of God or not. Because God said he forgive everybody. Didn't he tell us in the Gospels to do the same thing? We must forgive every brother his trespass. Well, if I can't forgive everybody that treats me wrong, or if you can't, guess what? I still got a problem. If I don't have room in the kingdom of God for every human being he ever created, I got a problem. Or if you don't, you have a problem. You hear what I'm saying? I got to understand that God created all, and he's no respecter of persons, is he? He doesn't show partiality to anyone, does he? So we all got the same walk. Little different details, different faces, different names, but all the same. We're going the same way. We all got one journey, and at the end of the journey, guess where we'll be? I'll be with Father. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 3, when we die, the flesh, the dust returns to the earth, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. I don't find any other room for anything else there except going back with my Father. My Father and your Father. Okay. And they said, the man asked us straightly of our kindred. Some of his words aren't there. Should say, the man asked us straightly of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? Justifying, aren't they? How do we know? It wasn't our fault. See, that's the nature of humanity, to always point the finger at someone else. It's not our fault to never accept responsibility. Why didn't they say, well, Pop, we did it. We did it. We made a mistake. Sorry. See? Is that the nature of Christ? It is to say, yep, accept my responsibility. But, you know, but the flesh always never do that. It'll always say, well, it was not my fault. I didn't understand. I couldn't be at blame. Well, yeah, it is. It's always the blame. Flesh is always the problem. And Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will rise and go that we may live and not die, both we and you and our children. I will be a surety for him. Of my hand shall you require him. If I bring him not to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame, what? Literally, all of my days. The language says, all of my days. It's the word kol yom, the two Hebrew words, kol yom, and it means all of my days. So the rest of my days on the earth, I will stand in his stead. I will be the responsible party if he doesn't come back. Verse 10, because if we had not hesitated or delayed, surely by now we would have returned twice. What's he saying? Get her done. Why are we standing around here talking about something? We're dying. We need food. True? And that's what we got to have in our heart. We got to come to someplace and say, I have to have the bread of life. I can no longer eat the pablum that man serves me. We can no longer serve the pablum that man has made in religion. We must have the bread of life. And if we stand here, we're going to die. You have the power in you to get it. You remember the story in the Kings about the lepers? And they were sitting outside the city, and nobody would let them in the city. And the Assyrians were over there with all the food in the world. And they said, you know, hey, we got leprosy. They realized that they were sinful in their nature. That's all that was. And they said, we're dead anyway. So if we go over there and get some food, we're ahead of the game. And if they kill us, guess what? Big deal, we're dead already. And see, that's what we have to come to in our life. We have to come to a place today. Nothing matters except getting that substance of life, the life of Christ, nothing else. And when we get that kind of hunger, guess we're going to make something happen. God is going to use us to do things, and I'm not talking about going out and saving the world and getting everybody out of the bars and the whorehouses and the crack houses. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about instilling the life that God has instilled in you into someone else. And that's not going out and waving a magic wand watching everybody fall down. Not in all those emotions. The scripture says very clearly in the New Testament, it says this, that they were deceived by the signs and wonders and miracles, and that's all everybody's looking for. Well, honey, I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't looking for no miracles. I am a miracle. You are a miracle. That we do something contrary to the nature of humanity is supernatural miracles. This is not natural that we love him more than ourselves. not natural. It's a gift of God. It's supernatural. And we have to see this. We've got to get in this position if we're going to go on with God. Where did I leave off there? 10? Going to 11? And their father Israel said to them, if so now, do this. Take the best fruits in the land in your vessels. Hello, vessels. Take the best fruits. You know what fruits that is? Galatians 5:22. Tell them to me, brother. And that's what he said, take in your vessel. The nature of Christ. Now, all God wants when you come to him, he doesn't want to see your fluffed and buffed flesh. He wants to see Christ in you. Is that true or false? When he is revealed, we will be just as he is. See, take these fruits, those fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, correct? And carry them down to the man of present. You know what this word present means? It's not like wrap up a Christmas present for somebody or a birthday present for somebody. That ain't what this present's about. In the Hebrew language, it says this. It's a sacrificial offering. It's bloodless and it's voluntary. Now, it's bloodless because his blood is all there is. It's not my blood to shed, is it? And it's voluntary. That means, you know, nobody made me do it. It's the desire of your heart. If my heart is the heart of Christ, it's the heart of the Father. So would anybody have to make me do it? His nature is to give. So what would I do? I would give. When Christ was first revealed in Genesis chapter 14 as Melchizedek, what did he do? He gave to Abraham. He gave it. And when he gave, it showed that Abraham had the same heart, because what did he do? He in return and gave a tenth of all that he had. He gave it back. He gave the Christ in him back to Christ. That's all it is. Give back what he gave to you. Oh, I told you I was going to get excited this morning a little bit. Can't help it. Don't want to help it. A little balm. You know what this balm is? You heard of the healing balm of Gilead? It's for healing. See, the nature of Christ will do something to you. It will heal every wound, every hurt, every rejection. That's what this is about. And see, I got to know that it's in the mind of Christ. A little honey. I got to have some revelation. See, this healing balm will bring me to the point now that I can forgive, because unforgiveness and hurt and rejection stops you from ever understanding the love of God. But when you come here and get this healing, okay, and then you start getting a little revelation, hello, and then you start getting some spices, and these words spices speaks of prayer and incense. You're going to start communicating with God when he starts revealing. What it's going to do is make you ask some questions. Well, if your book says you're going to reconcile all, God, who's going to be in hell? Huh? If this life is eternal, then when could I go to hell? If we're all children of the Most High God, then who isn't a child of God? See, that's questions that will come when you start seeing this and communicating with God instead of communicating with flesh. What did Paul say? Once I had the revelation of Jesus Christ, I no longer conferred with flesh and blood. It's not about a man or a woman. It's about the Christ in that man or woman. That's what we have to see. And myrrh. What is myrrh? It has two meanings. It speaks of pain, taking it for pain. You know what? When you have the myrrh of Christ, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have no pain. It also speaks of righteousness. It has beautiful white flowers on this thing. It speaks of the righteousness on this plant. Nuts. What does the nut speak of? No, they might call you a nut, but that's not what it is, okay? This word nut here speaks of the potassio. Is that right? Potassio. I'm going to say potassio. I can't say it for some reason. Okay, but this nut here is a delicacy. And when we come through all these other things, the healing and the revelation, the prayer and the communication and the righteousness and for the painkiller, and then we're going to come to the delicacies of God. We're going to start to get into the innermost workings of God. We're going to come into the Father's house to have a meal, aren't we? We're going to sit down with him in the Holy of Holies. We're going to start to get all these delicacies. And then this last thing, the almonds. The almond says this, first fruit, first tree to bloom. Wouldn't that be first fruit? So guess what? What did Abraham give back to Melchizedek? First fruit. So what I have to give back to him is me. Do you hear that? The only thing God wants from you is you. He was looking for a tithe from the earth. Where did we come from? He made us out of the earth and put his breath in us, and now we're going to give ourselves back as an offering to him. A voluntary, bloodless offering. Because it can't be my blood, because the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. I don't have to shed no blood. I'm going to get excited. And he said, also take your double your money in your hand, and the money that was brought in again in the mouth of your sacks. He's saying, so you take your salvation, you take your deliverance, you take your redemption, and you take it back to him. Everything that he has, he wants back. Everything he invests in you, he gets a return on, doesn't he? Correct? So you take it back, carry it again in your hand. It's in your control. And the hand speaks of your control. It's in your control. Perhaps it was an error or a mistake. Maybe God didn't want to give it to everybody. Hello. That's what the church will preach to you, ain't it? No, he didn't give it to everybody. Oh, yes, he did. He put it in everybody's sack. He put it in everybody's vessel. When Adam was created or formed, or not created, formed from the dust of the earth, God breathed, Elohim breathed his breath into him, and he became a living soul. He was the first of all humanity, then no other humanity can be any different from that humanity. It's not humanity without God in it, is it? So there's what he did. It's all of it, and he gave it to all. I won't argue the point, but I will state the fact. I will state the fact. He said, also take your brother and arise and go to the man. He didn't say go by yourself, did he? But take your brother with you. If you can do anything to help your brother, what are you to do? If one stumbles in meekness, what are you supposed to do? Restore him. Lift him up. Take him on with you. Don't worry about kicking him down because he made a mistake. I mean, only the church is the ones that kill the wounded. They don't. If you get wounded, they just drop you by the roadside and walk off and leave you. They see you as damaged goods. They think you're high maintenance. Well, they don't know what high maintenance is. They don't even know what it's about. They're taking the easy road. And God Almighty, you know what that word God Almighty really is? El Shaddai. Give you the mercy before the man that he may send away your brother, your other brother, and Benjamin. Who did he say? He said, God Almighty, give you mercy before the man that he may send away your brother. What brother? Who was the brother? Simeon. So he said, hey, if you go to this man with all these things, guess what you're getting back? You got your hearing back. And the book says, blessed is he that has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Ain't that right? So when you take these things and back to God, my God, you got your hearing back. And then what are you? You're blessed. Jeez. He said that he may send away your brother and Benjamin. Now, you're not just going to get your hearing back, but what are you going to get? The right hand speaks of power and authority. You're going to sit on the right hand of the Father. If Father, someone come up here, give me a hand. Someone come here. Anyone, someone come here a minute. You're close. Good. Okay, no, stand beside me. Son of my right hand, power and authority. If you sit on my right, what's that hand? This one. You're beside of me. I'm giving you my full power and authority with my right hand. That's what we are, seated next to the Father. We're not, you sit down now. That's what it says. See, it's my right hand. I'm giving authority with my right hand to the one standing on my right. Didn't he say the sheep are on the right and the goats on the left? Correct? Oh. He said, if I be bereaved, those words of my children are not there. He said, if I be bereaved, I'm bereaved. He finally got a hold of something. Is Israel in control? Is Israel in control? No, he's not. No, he's not. God is. Jacob, Israel is not in control. He said, well, if that's the way it's got to be, I'm not in control. See, it's about God, what God wants. Okay, it's for the all. It's not for me. It's for the all. There's part of self-dying. You're right. And the men took that sacrificial offering, bloodless offering, And they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph the Christ. Correct? Now, where did this thing start at? Where did we start at? I can't hear you. No, we didn't start in Canaan. Think about it. We started with God. We were seated in the heavenlies. And we came to the earth for this and stood before Christ in the earth. Right? We had to see that this is the way it went. They went back down to Egypt. They were standing before Israel was a type of the Father here. They were standing before him. They had to go back to Egypt to stand before Christ. That's the way he wants it done. See, we're not bypassing the Son Christ, are we? Father said, you deal with my Son. He has full power and authority. He's my right-hand man. You go through him to come to me. No man goes to Father except through me. Is that correct? No man goes to Father except through Jesus, the Christ. Not just Jesus the man, but Jesus the Christ. So that's the way he set it up. And when Joseph saw Benjamin, his true brother, a first fruit, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready. He's making a big feast for them because humanity shall dine with me at noon. You know what that is? The day star rising in their heart. It's the brightest time of day at noon. When that light goes off in you, guess what you begin to do? You begin to feast on Christ. Not with him, but feast on him. Because he said, I am the bread of life. And if he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, I don't have any part in you if you don't. Isn't that right? We've got to realize now what's got to happen to us. What happened to Joseph is just a pattern of what we got to go through. You think his life was easy? Being thrown in a pit, then thrown in prison, and then moved into Potiphar's house, still being a slave, even though you knew when you was a little boy that you was the Son of God, that you was going to deliver the whole nation of Israel. Do you think that was easy to walk through that? It'd been easier to go through it dumb as a rock, wouldn't it? But he knew ahead of time. And see, there's the test. Do you believe what I told you? How did Abraham become a Jew? He believed God. And it's no different for you or I. If we really believe, don't just say, oh, I believe God is a God. No, I mean believe everything he said and not the King James Version of what he said, but what the Spirit of God said. That's what'll make you a Jew. It's not the circumcision of the flesh, but the circumcision of the heart made of God, not by hand. That's the thing that makes you who you are. And that was something chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Read Ephesians chapter 1. It was already set. You didn't choose me, I chose you, he said. And the men were afraid. And they said, the man did as Joseph bade the man, took him down to Joseph's house. Well, where is Joseph's house? Hello, Joseph's house. God dwells in his people, don't he? It's the Holy of Holies. And see, it's inside this earthen vessel. It's in here, in your innermost place. That's the Holy of Holies. That's where Christ lives, isn't it? That's what it's all about, knowing that this is the house. Know ye not, you're the temple of the living God. And the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house. Well, you know what? Until you're prepared, you will be scared in the presence of God. I'm going to tell you, when God talks to you, you can tremble. If you don't think you can, I don't care who you are. Until you become a mature son, you're going to be afraid of everything. And says, God has not given me a spirit of fear, and I wonder where that fear came from. It sure wasn't the tree I was living from. I'm living from that tree of life, not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So you know what? Don't worry about fear. Whatever happens is going to happen. And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time we were brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for servants or slaves and our asses. See, all their mind is still thinking about one thing. Woe is me. He's picking on me. He wants to make me a slave and take everything I got. Do you really think that's a spiritual thought? They were in slavery in their minds from the beginning. He's trying to set them free and they're thinking he's binding them up. And is that exactly what church does to you? They say, come on in our house and join us and you can be free just like us. Just lock your hand in that chain right there with us. Just lock in here with us and you'll be free. And then you've got this big ball of condemnation and guilt you've got to carry with you everywhere you go. You can be just like us. Isn't that what the world does to us? The church, the world's better to you than the church. They got more compassion than the church does. That's sad to say, but it's the truth. Now look what they did. They're scared to death here. So they came near the steward of Joseph's house. Do you know who the steward of Joseph's house is? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. This is the house. Guess who's taking care of this house? Isn't the Holy Spirit? Aren't we being led by the Spirit? Those that are led by the Spirit, are they not truly the sons of God? Gospel of John 1:12, huh? Guess what? He says he comes in there, and they're going to talk to him. They communed to him with him at the door of the house. Well, guess what the door is? Right here. Your brain, your thinking. They begin to communicate with him, but because of fear, they could not get in the door. Remember in Revelation it says, he stands at the door and knocks. If you can come in, but you got to reach some certain requirements, you got to bring these gifts, you got to bring back the nature that he gave you from the very beginning, you've got to remember something. Like Job said in Job 38, weren't you with me when the morning star sung? Job, weren't you right there? You got to remember something. You've got to believe what God said. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a history book. It's not some prophetic thing that someday, somewhere, we might fly away to. It's a present reality in our lives. When we understand that, it all opens up. It all opens up. Makes sense. God makes sense, and most preachers don't. I'm sorry. They don't make sense. Just listen to them. They'll contradict themselves. They're walking oxymorons, and that means they say things and then contradict themselves before they get the words out of their mouth. I'm not calling nobody a moron. I said what they say is an oxymoron. They say things and then contradict themselves in the same sentence. That's what it is. God is not in confusion. And the Spirit speaks back to them and says, or they did rather, and they said, "Oh my Lord, we came indeed down the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn or the encampment that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money or his redemption was in the mouth of his sack." It wasn't down deep yet, was it? It was just right at the door. They didn't let it in yet, see? "Our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hand also to buy food." We cannot, what? King James says, we cannot tell who put the money in our sack. And that's not what it says in the language. The language is the word yada. We cannot know, or we do not know, who put the money in our sack. You know what? Humanity says, we don't know anything about this God. We don't know anything about redemption being within me. We don't know anything about Christ, the Spirit of God being within me. You know why? Because no one ever told him. Who's going to be bold enough to stand and declare God is in all humanity? That's what God's Word says. We're all children of the Most High God. Who's going to have enough boldness to stand up and declare it? See? And it doesn't mean be obnoxious about it, but state the facts. Who's going to be afraid of what man can do to you and keep it quiet? I wish I could tell you a list of people I've talked to. Preachers, big name preachers, that's on TV and travel the world, and they say, "Dave, we know what you're saying is true, but my God, if we say it, you know what'll happen?" I said, you won't be famous anymore. You won't have your money anymore. That's exactly what it is. They said, "Do you realize what this will do to us if we preach this truth?" Yeah, I do. I'm walking through it. I know what it is. But you know what? When I come out on the other side, it's okay. God put it in. You know, the man who put it in, the redemption in there, was the Holy Spirit, the steward of Joseph's house. The Spirit of God, right? They don't know that. They don't know about God. All they know about is finances, money, numbers, people. Numbers of people. And he said, "Peace to you, fear not." Now this word peace is an interesting word because it doesn't just mean peace. It's the word shalom. It means health, prosperity, and peace. All three. Health, prosperity, and peace to you. That's the Spirit of God speaking to you. Health, prosperity, and peace. Well then, why is the world in the church world telling us all these things that's so bad about it? Doubt and unbelief is the only thing keeping you back. And let me say another word. There's something else keeping us back. Ignorance. Ignorance can be cured. It can be healed. by a little bit of knowledge of God. That's all it takes. See, stupidity, I don't know if there's any help for that, but for ignorance it can be cured with a little bit of knowledge. He said, your Elohim, and the Elohim of your father has given you a treasure in your sacks. This word treasure is a neat word. It don't just say treasure like I found a pirate's chest buried in the ground somewhere. That's what people think about a treasure. Many people think, well, he found something hidden in the ground. Well, this says something close to that. It says, he has given you a secret valuable buried. He gave you something valuable that was secretly buried within you. What is it? It's Christ in you. The Holy One of God in you. There's the valuable that's hidden. It's buried within this earth, isn't it? Okay? He said, that's what you got. He said, it's in your sack. And what's the sack? That's us. He buried it in our sack. He said, I had your money. That's really not true. I brought your money. I put your money there. I did it. It's the Spirit of God revealing, I work for the same Christ you do. And I put your money there. And he brought Simeon out to them. He gave them back their hearing. I give you redemption only by the Spirit of God. No man can come to the Father except the Spirit draws him. See this? It's so clear when God makes it simple. I mean, it may sound difficult to some, but when God shows you, it's not difficult, is it? No strain to me. I can see it. And the man, what man? The Holy Spirit brought the men to Joseph's house, to the Holy of Holies, and gave them what? He gave them some water. What is the water? It's the Word of God. And they washed their feet. Well, hello. He said, you're washed by the water of the Word. See? He washed their lifestyle. Their lifestyle changed from this point on. Something is a beginning process in our life. When I go into the Holy of Holies and receive this, like Jacob's ladder, the first thing they had to do is ascend up and come back down. You don't get into the Holy of Holies, you ain't got nothing to give man, because there's only three covenants. Dust and sand is on the earth, star covenants in the heavens. And Revelation clearly states, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, the dust and the sand, but the stars, oh my. There's where you get something to come back to give to humanity. If I never ascend, all I can give you is carnality, and you got enough of that to start with. You don't need a double dose of carnality. And he gave their asses provender, or food. What does the ass represent here? It's the humanity of man. He said, I gave you all the provision you need. Didn't the book say, why do you worry about what you're going to have? Don't I take care and feed the sparrows? And aren't you more valuable than the sparrows? He said, if I feed them, you think I'm not going to take care of you? But didn't he also say this? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added to you. See, if you're seeking God, guess what? And they went to Christ, didn't they? They went to Joseph, and he provided even for their ass. He gave their ass food, the beast nature, the carnal nature. Huh? Well, the flesh is a smelly part. And they made ready the present until Joseph came at noon. So see, it shows it's a progression. They were preparing until when? Until the day star rose to its peak in their life. It's a preparation till you come to maturity. It's a preparation to come to the fullness. Although we know many things, have we come to fulfillment yet? Jesus said, he that endures to the end, the same shall be delivered. Be delivered. See, when I get to the end, I'll be delivered. This life is not something, okay, I'm perfected, now I can go out and tell everybody how messed up they are. And listen to me and you get straightened up. No. I am still in being progressively changed as everybody else is. It's not just about one person getting fixed and then you say, hey, I've got it, y'all on your own. It's about me walking it out my entire life. Jesus walked in perfection, but he wasn't perfected totally until he went through the cross. Wasn't he? There's where the perfection came. And see, we ain't got there yet. That's why he said, he that endures until the end. Then we'll be through with all this stuff. Because they heard. The word heard here is shama. They heard intelligently with the intent to respond. If they said, we're going to eat there, guess what we better do? We better get washed up a little bit. We better get into the Word and get cleaned up a little bit, hadn't we? Hello? And they were provided water to wash up with, weren't they? You better get washed up because He's coming at noon. Whether you like it or not, He set the time when He's going to return, didn't He? I'm not talking about the second advent of Christ or anything like that. He said He's going to show up in your life when He's ready. And you've got to be the bride and make yourself ready. Get ready for the bride coming, bridegroom coming. And they heard that they should eat bread there. You know what? That bread is the word of life. And didn't Jesus say in the Gospels, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that eats this bread, never hunger again. Oh my. And when Joseph came home, you know what? That's just amazing. He came home. That tells me he had to have been there once, took a little journey, and came back. Kind of sounds like some of those parables, don't it? He had to reveal in you. See, and here's the real picture of it. Let's just cut everything away from it and see what he's really saying there. He never left you. He never forsook you. He was always there. Here's what it was. You thought that he wasn't there. When Adam was tossed from the garden, they say, he never went anywhere. He lost his identity. He didn't know that he was the Son of God yet. He got into his emotions. He got in with Eve, his emotions, his soul, and started realizing, ooh, that hurts, this feels good, that's bad, that's good. He ate from the wrong tree. He didn't take from the tree of life, did he? So see, by eating the wrong thing, we're all guilty. See? We still want to judge people by that was a good thing and that was a bad thing. No, when I have to look at it, it's a God thing. I don't care what it is, it's a God thing. Because he's the author of all things. Didn't Job say, shall we receive good from the hand of God and not receive evil also? That's what Job told us. And Job is used, so Job learned it, and we got to learn it too. And they brought him the present, the sacrificial offering that was bloodless and voluntary. They brought themselves. Here I am. Send me. And it was in their hand. See, he gave you the gift, but it was in your hand. You had the authority and the power. Didn't Jesus say, I'm going to go away and I'm going to get all authority and power is given to me and now I give it to you. You got it. Now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to offer it back to me or are you going to squander those gifts? Are you going to take those talents and bury them in the earth? Or are you going to give them back where they belong? Are you going to give me a reward, something on top of what I have invested to you? Some of them did, didn't they? Some of them did. And they bowed themselves to him, to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well, the old man whom you spoke of, is he yet alive? Is God still alive? Is God truly still alive? You think he was asking because he needed to know? Or was he talking to them? Do you really believe God's alive? That's what he was really asking. Do you really believe God's alive, or is this just some kind of a religious facade that you're putting on? If you really believe he's alive, you're going to live it. If you just think it, let somebody tail you a little while, you'll see that they go someplace the wrong way. Watch their footsteps. That's where they're going. Don't listen to their words. Watch how they walk. And they answered the servant of our father, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He's happy, he's happy, prosperous. What's the three words for shalom? Health, prosperity, and peace. He's in health, prosperity, and peace. He is yet alive, and they bowed their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin. He lifted his eyes. He looked into the spirit realm and saw the perfected brother, his full blood brother. He saw the first fruits coming back to him. He saw the reality of this. See, he didn't see, well, it's going to happen someday. He saw in his eyes, this is Christ looking at his brethren. Yeah. That's why he said, don't bow yourself to me in Revelation. Jesus kept saying that. He was the angel of Revelation. He kept saying, don't bow to me. Don't worship me. Worship the Father. He saw his brethren. He said, I am of your brethren and the prophets. Don't worship me. Worship God. This is a revelation of this stuff. Oh, God. his mother's son and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "God," or Elohim, "be gracious to you." Literally it says, "Bestow your favor upon you, son. May God bestow his favor upon you. May he give you grace." What is grace? A divine influence in your heart and a reflection of that into your lifestyle. He's saying, "You're the first fruit son, and I want to see you walk in the same gifts that I have." Okay? Not any better, same. "And Joseph made haste because his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there." Do you know what that is? That's the garden. What did Jesus do when he went to the garden? He wept in private. How many times I would and you would not. I desired to cover you and you would not. You would not take it. But I'm talking about when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion. He went there to weep. And look what it says in verse 31. "And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, 'Set on bread.'" Now let me give you the understanding of it. He washed his face. I want you to see a picture in your mind of what Joseph looked like. He was in the world. He was living in Egypt as a king. Tell me what those kings looked like. They looked like Egypt. They had their faces painted. They had all kinds of decorations on. And the only thing he did when he washed his face with the tears was he cleansed himself. He washed Egypt off of himself. He washed the flesh up off himself. He took and washed all that carnality out of himself. Now he's about to reveal his identity. He washed the world off of him with his tears. And doesn't it say when he cried in the garden, it was as great drops of blood. And what cleanses you? The blood that cleanses you. God Almighty, can you see it? And he refrained himself. He was cleansed by the tears, those drops of blood. But he refrained himself. And as they took him to the cross, what did he do? He went as a mute lamb. Didn't say anything. There's the crucifixion coming. Here's the true thing. When you learn to refrain yourself, just like Lloyd started out perfectly this morning when he was sharing about zipping it up. Zip it up. Why should we complain when they're not doing anything to us to start with? They're helping us. Open your mind up and see what God has in front of you. This is for me. When that man came and spit on me, it was for me to see if I would love him in spite of the nasty way he treated me. If there was nobody mistreating me, how could I show the love of God to anybody? Tell me, how could I do it? What reason is there to have the nature of God if there's not someone to receive it? That's what it's all about. We got to learn to understand these things. And when we do, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. And they said, "Set on bread." Well, you know, the last thing they did before they went to this garden was they went and had the Last Supper, what we call it, the Lord's Supper. There they just set bread. There was the Last Supper. There was the communion with God, communion with one another. And they set on for him by himself. You know why? Why did they set it by himself? It was his journey to walk first. He was the first begotten of God, wasn't he? It was his job to walk it first. He was set by himself first. He had to eat that bread. Remember he asked, "If possible, Lord, can you take this cup away from me? Nevertheless, it's not my will, it's your will be done." So he ate it first. And then it set the other 10 together, didn't he? The rest of them got set together, the other brothers. Because him and Benjamin were really one. They were the same. The other 10 was the law. Huh? Firstborn among many brethren, absolutely. And for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians, or the double-minded or worldly, could not eat bread with the Hebrews or ones from beyond. One from beyond is the alien. The alien. Do you know people can't eat the same bread you eat? I'm not talking about eating a loaf of wheat bread. I'm talking about eating the bread of life. And they can't eat our bread. It's an abomination to them. I mean, it's disgusting to them. They don't want to hear about this stuff. stuff that God talks to us about us suffering and ruling and reigning with Him. They don't want to hear that, do they? They want to hear about the good stuff. Let me just go out and do what I want to do today, and I don't want to even deal with God somewhere down the road, maybe. I don't want to deal with it today. Hear that a lot. Because that is a disgusting thing to the Hebrews, or to the Egyptians. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his age. And the men marveled one at another. Now, so they marveled one at another. They were astonished, right? And he took and sent messes unto them before him. The word messes here is portions. He sent portions to them. He sent portions to them. But Benjamin's portion was five times greater, so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. What do you think that is? Benjamin got five times greater. He got the grace and mercy of God. He got the divine influence in his heart. Do you think all the other brothers had the same heart that Benjamin had? Nope. See, because truly we are Benjamins. He is the first. He is the Christ. We are the part. He's the head of all creation, isn't he? He's the head. We're the body. So he was first, and we come in line as Father decides when we're coming. It's up to him to choose. It's his timing, not ours. Correct? Can you see how Joseph's life is your life? If you read this book any other way, you're not reading it through the eyes of God. God didn't write a history book. I mean, God, we got enough historians to make you sick. We don't need historians. We got historians in the pulpit. We don't need historians in the pulpit. We don't need intellectual fact finders in there. We need to hear spiritual truth come from our pulpit. And it doesn't have to come from our pulpits. It needs to come from you as much as me. You need to speak the same truth. See, I can't possibly reach people all over the world. I know we have a website and we go all over the world that way, but I can't reach every person. The only way I can reach people is the ones I talk to. And as you get a hold of this truth, what can you do with it? You talk to them. You talk to who you can see. Because you see people that I never see, I've never met in my life, each one of you. And you can take this love, you can take this bread of life and give it to everyone else. If you received it freely, give it freely. And God will take care of it. Don't worry about it. I know the preachers get mad at me. I've heard several of them say, you can't keep giving this stuff away. You make us look bad. I said, sorry about your luck. Yeah. God gave it to me and I give it away. Sorry about your luck. They said, well, you've got to at least get enough money to recoup your costs. I said, oh, he's going to pay me postage, but he ain't going to pay for the rest of it, huh? Don't make sense, does it? If he's going to fund this thing, he's going to fund the whole thing. And if not, then let her go down. They said, well, how do you know God's doing it? And I said, when the money stops, I'll stop. End of discussion. If he wants it to go, there'll be a finance for that, and when it's over with, then I quit. Simple as that. Not very hard. And the worldly people should understand that because they know how to follow money. I'm done. Anybody got questions, comments?